I think every morning, all of us wake up with an idea of significance and purpose. And we struggle with significance and purpose when life gets a little chaotic. And specifically today, what I want to refer to are the tragedies that have come into our lives and into our community, and just speak about that momentarily. The reason I want to bring this up and discuss this is we so often look for answers, and the answers often don't come. And when tragedies hit our heart and hit our lives, we struggle with even where God is at those given moments of time. And we struggle with the purpose and the significance of those lives that are lost, and again, the tragedies and the sadness that comes with them. The one thing I can say to you is there are answers that we will never have this side of heaven. I would love to be able to give answers to a lot of people that have called me this week, to high school kids that have reached out to me. I have no answers. It's very difficult to explain these things. The one thing I really want to encourage us this morning, though, is in the 2 years that Darlene and I have been here, we've witnessed a lot of compassion and a lot of mercy from you. And I mean for an outpouring into the community. And again, that's been noticed by community people that I connect with, whether I'm subbing at the school or driving a school bus or whatever. People appreciate your compassion and your mercy and your heart for them. And so right now, too, just be encouraged to know to keep that going, to keep that compassion going, to be speaking into people's lives. It's an important thing for us. We've assisted people in the past, and we will continue to assist people. But again, we have these questions in our lives. And the one thing that I thought about this week is, are we really children of a lesser God? Is God somebody that sits in heaven and moves the chess pieces around, as it were, in terms of life? Is God somehow disconnected from us, that he doesn't stop tragedies or he doesn't stop things from happening? If there really is a God, why doesn't he intervene at times? And there are actually times in our lives where people have looked at me and actually thought that God was cruel. They didn't deny the existence of God, but they thought that a loving God could really not be this cruel and stand by and watch these things take place. But yet it's at moments like this where we know and we share that there is hope. There is compassion. There is love. God is somebody that cares. God is not somebody that stands idly by and just lets things happen at a whim. And as I stand here before you today, I can tell you as well that the morality that is in place in the world, the rules of right and wrong, the rules of how we treat each other, have been put in place by a holy God, by a compassionate God, by a caring God, by a God that really wants to be engaged in our lives. The other thing I was thinking about this week, how many hours combined in this church gathering that we have spent walking life's journey with people and walking those last steps with people and what that means. Because so often when we're with people, there's often three entities in the room. There's your presence, the presence that you bring, the fact that you ooze Jesus to those people. There's the presence of that person that may be dying or suffering. But often death is there as well. You know as well as I do that when you sit with people, that the presence of death is there. And it gets so thick at times that we just want to hold it at arm's length, and we can't do that. So again, as we think about the things that have happened, as we think about the people in our lives that have been destroyed, the people that are connected to the people who have lost their lives, We wonder what it's all about. There's no superlative, there's no platitude, there's nothing that we can say at times other than we just sit with people and we walk this life's journey with them. John 10:10 actually tells us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The second half of that verse says, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So when we actually don't have answers for these tragedies that happen, we have the hope that lies within us, the ability to tell people, you know what? God is not a cruel God. We are not children of a lesser God. We are children of a God that loves us, that created us. We can't explain things. We don't want to try to explain things. And I know that we have witnessed cruelty this week as we consider at least two significant tragedies that have touched our hearts in this gathering. Isaiah 55 is where I'm going to draw our attention this morning before we go to prayer. We're actually going to move from this conversation into prayer today. We're going to sing a couple songs together. I'm going to encourage you again with the book of Revelation as to what God's doing for future events, and then we're going to have communion together. And it's interesting that when we have communion, communion is actually built on tragedy. It's built on cruelty. It's built on somebody losing his life. But as we see in 1 Corinthians, Jesus has overcome death for you and for me by being resurrected and now seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. You come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David indeed I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, and it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with peace and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clasp their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be the Lord for his name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." It says here in verse 8 that God's ways, his plans, his thoughts are not the same as ours. This is why we don't have answers, because we have no idea what God's plans are. There's 8 billion people in the world, and God has a plan somehow for every one of them. Some of them acknowledge him as their God, some of them do not. But God loves each one of us and each person. Verse 9 of Isaiah 55 also reminds us that his thought process is so much more significant than ours, so much higher than ours, that again, we cannot comprehend it. The one thing that God does want us to do, though, is he wants us to ask the tough questions. He wants us to ask the why questions. Knowing that we may understand, knowing that we may not understand, but knowing that when you ask those questions, when you ask the why questions, the promise is that he will make himself known to you. So this week, there will be more sadness. Some of our group will be at a funeral in Winnipeg this week, remembering somebody that died fairly young. We've got a group of high schoolers that are going to be going back to school on Wednesday, struggling to comprehend what has taken place. Job also tells us that naked I came into the world, and naked I will leave this world. And that in and of itself is a bit of a comfort, knowing that God brings us into the world and God is with us as we leave this world. And yet as we see the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, the ability that God gave us for free will within his sovereignty, that this is where sometimes these tragedies exist and where they take place and why they happen. So my heart was heavy this week, as many of you had heavy hearts this week. I fell for the kids as I was at Minnetonka School subbing this week, for the staff that have taught the kids, for Blair and Leanne. Tough, especially in light of the fact that Amara is so sick. Somehow, God is sovereign and he's in charge. As I said at the beginning, we're going to move from this short conversation directly into prayer this morning. Father, our hearts are heavy today as we consider life around us. At the beginning, though, we thank you that you're the God of hope. We thank you for your love, your care, your compassion, your mercy, that you've kept from us the penalty of death that we all deserve. And that regardless of when our physical bodies fail, that if we've been reconciled to you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we will gain heaven someday. And we're grateful for that. But Father, we're also grateful that Jesus Christ has come to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Even though the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and we're grateful for that. Help us to know how to pray. Help us to know how to seek your face. May the Holy Spirit lead us into all truth. And may the Holy Spirit be a comforter, teacher, and a guide to all those that are on our hearts today, and also to those that we may not have mentioned. As we look at our list here today, we're aware of people that are suffering. Pray blessings on them as they're battling cancer. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to speak into their lives. Again, give us the words that you want us to say at the time, even though the questions of life, we struggle with answers. We also want to thank you today for the life of Paul Jurczak. Father, this is again a tragedy that has come our way. I pray that at the funeral, people will have a clear understanding of who Jesus is, that there will be celebration regardless of the tragedy that has happened. And for those that are going from here, Father, give them a safe journey to Winnipeg and back, knowing again that they are celebrating Paul's life. As we also go into communion this morning, may we recognize the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his body that hung on the cross for us. May we never forget again the reason for him dying. And lastly, Father, our hearts go out to Blair and Leanne this morning. The confusion that must exist, the pain and the sorrow and the grieving that must exist. Help us to walk journeys with them that we can walk, but again, give them peace of mind. And again, somehow we pray to your honor and to your glory, not knowing what this is all about. Thank you again, though, for revealing yourself to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.